Build Christ in us, even as we hear your word. In Jesus' mighty name have we prayed. Amen. We bless God. How many of you are excited seeing Pastor Gabe? I remember the first time I preached and he was sitting. That was the thought that came. I was having wobbly legs. But God is good. Amen. God is faithful. God is faithful. So I titled my sermon today, The Holy Spirit, the final episode. And it's not the final teaching about the Holy Spirit, but it's just for this session that is the final. And I'm praying that I'll be able to summarize everything that we have started speaking in the past two sessions today. And the basic thing, as I always say, is to literally open your eyes to the knowledge and the personality of the Holy Spirit so you can literally go in and search for yourself. Not everything can be done from the pulpit. It's just like a teaser. It's like an advertisement. And we whet your appetite so that you would personally go and read for yourself. It's not worth it if you only feed from the pulpit. Imagine, because I believe the pulpit ministrations are like snacks. Are like snacks. Imagine if you only eat an Oreo a week. One pack of Oreos a week. Can you imagine how you'd be looking? I don't want to imagine how I'll be looking. So it's very important to feed. In scripture, in the book of Peter, we understand that as newborn babies, we are supposed to desire the sincere milk of the word. So it's something that will actually feed you. So once again, all what we are doing here is just supposed to open up a door of curiosity so that you would go and read for yourself. How da? Great. So let's take this scripture together from John 16, 7 to 8. 1, 2, 3, go. So the Holy Spirit, who is also referred to as Allos Parakletos, which is the another of the same kind, the comforter, the helper, the counselor, the one that authenticates our salvation, was sent to us by the Father and to be a helper on this earth. So for me, I believe so strongly that the most important personality of the Trinity that we need to actually relate with in our salvation as we walk on the earth is the Holy Spirit. He is the one who is literally running events among the Trinity on earth. So it's very important, and his work is clearly displayed there. He is a helper to us. To us, he is a helper. He helps you in your walk in faith. He helps you in your walk in love. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit that empowers you, even as you desire to follow the Lord. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit that keeps you moving, even when you want to give up, even when you fall down. The Holy Spirit is that wonderful Spirit that lifts you up and pushes you back on your journey. And it's very important that to the world, he convicts them of sin, righteousness, and judgment. So once again, I want to say, in every aspect of our ministry, it is not about you, but about the Holy Spirit. So even with reference to Eden ministry, the one who convicts the prostitute to literally be changed, even with reference to our personal addictions of smoking and drinking, and the one that convicts you to move from that line and walk in faith, is the Holy Spirit. Even when it comes to that decision you need to make pertaining whether to do this or do that, the one that informs you to move in a godly way is the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? Amen. We bless God. Oh, I like that response. I remember there was a time when I asked, are you with me? And people were like, so I'm happy we have that response. Now, just a quick recap. So on the first session, we had the Holy Spirit part one. How many of you like series? How many of you love series? I'm not a fan of series. I think last year I watched this series, Flash, Flash. How many of you have watched it before? And you know, when you start watching it, you don't know when it's morning or when it's evening. By the time you realize, the time just keeps flying and you don't eat so well. So I put it in the form of a series. I stopped watching so many series. I started learning and reading the Bible. Amen. So a recap. The part one, what we tackled was the characteristics and features of the Holy Spirit. And one of the key things we did was to explain the personality of the Holy Spirit, being part of the Trinity, being part of the Godhead. We explained who the Holy Spirit was. We looked at the root words of the Holy Spirit. We looked at some of the features of the Holy Spirit. We looked at some of the workings of the Holy Spirit. We looked at actually the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And in that light, I remember we clearly emphasized that the first ministry of the Holy Spirit is the translation from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. That the Holy Spirit is the one responsible for our salvation. The Holy Spirit is the one that actually leads us even the path of salvation. And the second thing we made mention of was the aspect of character formation. That the very moment you give your life to Christ, the person who is responsible for building that character in you, that character of Christ that is demanded, is the Holy Spirit. And how does he do that? He does that by the word that you feed. When you feed on the word, the Holy Spirit utilizes it and moves you from glory to glory. So I remember we read from 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18. Then it said, we all with open faces, as looking into a mirror, are transformed from glory to glory by the Spirit who is the Lord. So it's very important to understand that aspect. And the third aspect we also looked at was with reference to the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And that took us to our second part. But we also began by looking at how to build an effective relationship with the Holy Spirit. Do you remember how to build a relationship with the Holy Spirit? Do you remember, please? I'm going to do a recap. The first aspect of how to build a relationship with the Holy Spirit is, one, believe that he exists. You need to believe that there is a personality called the Holy Spirit. And I remember saying that one of the aspects of the features of the Holy Spirit is that he has a will, he has a mind, he has an emotion, and this builds up a personality. Why is it important to us for us to know that the Holy Spirit has a personality? Is that we need to relate with the Holy Spirit. So we understood that the only way you can improve on your relationship with the Holy Spirit is through knowledge. You need to get knowledge of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. And you need to spend time in prayer, spend time in worship, spend time in your encounter with the Holy Spirit. And another aspect of it was knowing. I remember I stressed on this, knowing. You need to get knowledge. For the lack of knowledge, people surely perish. And one thing I can tell you is that anytime the devil sees that there is something that could be a blessing to you, he puts a whirlwind around it to deter people from going there. So I hear a lot of people saying, oh, I don't want to know about the Holy Spirit thingy. Some of them even say thingy. I don't want to hear about the Holy Spirit thingy. I think it's too complicated. Trust me, if you do find the right knowledge, it's definitely going to be a blessing. And for me, I can say it has been a blessing. And the Holy Spirit part two, we learned about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit. And we read from Galatians and we understood that the fruit of the Holy Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the things that make up the character of a believer. And I remember saying this emphatically, that God is much pleased with the character of a believer than anything you can do for him. I repeat, God is much pleased with how you manifest love one to another than any prophecy you can prophesy in the church. God is much more interested in how you treat your wife, how you treat your children, how you treat your enemies, than how you come and stand here and serve in any capacity. Character. character. Then we went on to speak about the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And I remember saying that the manifestations of the Holy Spirit are categorical. People call them giftings. I like to call them manifestations, because when you say giftings, it sends an information that the gifts are for you, but they are not yours. You are just a vessel which is being used to give the Lord glory. Can I get an amen? So literally, I put them into various categories. We understand they are traditional gifts. The traditional gifts of the Holy Spirit that were highlighted in Corinthians. But you move to other aspects of Corinthians and you see other giftings. And I think there are even more giftings that were not even highlighted within those traditional. I was talking to Victoria from Poland. She came to visit over the weekend. And I was talking to her and I said, I think one of the major ways the Holy Spirit manifests through me is through the manifestation of joy. I'm always happy. Sometimes I think I'm not correct, but I just realize it's just the Holy Spirit. Sometimes my wife was telling someone that, you know, Perry stays on the bed and sometimes you hear him laughing on his own. Like when I'm thinking, I'm praying, and I see something, I just start laughing. Yeah, the one manifestation of the Holy Spirit is the gift of joy. And as I speak now, I see people who are crying at night, people who are going through depression. And just as the Lord has blessed me with that gifting, I pray a sense of joy over your life. May you never be depressed in Jesus' mighty name. I declare to every principality that causes you to think abnormally, causes you to wake up at night and cry when you are supposed to sleep beside your wife, cuddle a bit, it must stop in Jesus' name. I declare every spirit of depression at work in any life to be removed in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We bless God. And I remember with reference to that, I spent a bit of time. I'm sweating. I wish I could take off this thing. I remember when we went to the traditional gifts. I spoke of the oral gifts. The oral gifts that were highlighted in the book of Corinthians. And I spoke of the speaking of tongues. I spoke of the interpretation of tongues and the gift of prophecy. I spoke about these ones that normally come by word of mouth, by word of mouth, by word of mouth. And I also made mention of the power gifts, the power gifts. The power gifts come by the demonstration of power. And I love these ones. I remember the first time I went to my mission field in Ketekrachi. Ketekrachi is in the Volta region, right? Right? Joel? Ketekrachi is in the Volta region of Ghana. And when I went there, that was the first time I prayed for someone and the person was in the wheelchair and the person stood up. I don't know, but it felt good. It felt so good to pray for someone. And after the person stood up, I'm like, jeez, this is really serious business. Like, when you pray, miracles do happen. Like, literally. And I shared the testimony of how I literally, this is not somewhere, this was here on the first floor, how I saw literally someone whose leg, one was longer than the other. You know, in Ghana, we call them Apache, Mpozo. They walk with, and I literally saw the leg grow. This was in the low first floor of XICF. So the power gift of the Holy Spirit, I literally grouped them as the gift of faith. I made mention of the gift of healing and the working of miracles. Then I went on to speak about the revelational gifts. Someone say revelational gifts. The revelational gifts are the giftings that deal with revealing of things. Revealing of things. And the first one I made mention was the gift of wisdom. The gift of wisdom is a discernment and understanding of how to apply godly principles in every situation. How many of you have that one friend who knows exactly what to do in every situation? I have someone like that, my wife. It's very important to know that there are some people, when they have a problem, they just think, they know what to do. Especially when it has to do with work. And one thing I emphasize, that these giftings are not for the four corners of the church. I have seen people in the business industry. I've seen people in the financial industry. There was a testimony I heard of a stockbroker who literally consistently had dreams of a downcline of the stock and quickly withdrew all his stock. Little did he know that there was going to be a huge recession that was going to affect the whole of New York. And literally, it began with the manifestation of the gifting. Then we also have the word of knowledge. We also have the discernment of spirit. The word of knowledge is clearly seen even when Jesus met the woman at the well. And every time he said something, the woman said it was true but was trying to swerve. This, the man you are even staying with is not your husband. And the word of knowledge reveals things about people that you, the person, did not even inform you. Then we have the discernment of spirit. The discernment of spirit literally lets you know the influence of people or of situations. And this I clearly pray for a lot of my friends who are businessmen. I pray this for them, because not every deal is meant to be taken. You need to discern. You need to discern. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you blessed? Are you blessed? I want to encourage you, desire to manifest some of these giftings. Desire to manifest some of these giftings. As a student, desire to manifest the gift of wisdom. As a mother, desire to be discerning. I remember when I was a kid, I liked to steal coins so that when I go to school, I would buy extra candies. And for one reason or the other, my mother knew every time when I stole something. Even when I used to steal, I had two places where I would normally keep it, in my shoe or in my boxer shorts. And she would call me, look at me and like, take off your panties. And she would see the money and I'm like, how does she know? There was a time when I was literally going to do something bad and from nowhere I heard my mother's voice, go back to campus. You need the giftings in your personal life. The Holy Spirit was not given to you for you to make your worship nice. The Holy Spirit was not given to you for you to feel good and get goosebumps during prayer. The Holy Spirit was given to you to reveal Christ to the world. The Holy Spirit was given to you to show Christ to that roommate. The Holy Spirit was given to you to manifest that character that would let you stand out in that company. The Holy Spirit was given to you to become a blessing to your husband. The story of Smith Wigglesworth. How many of you know Smith Wigglesworth? Smith Wigglesworth is an amazing, amazing evangelist, amazing preacher. He used to drive demons out by slapping people. I'm not going to slap anybody. He cured someone with ulcer by punching the person in the stomach. And the doctor said, he used to stammer a bit. And he punched the person in the stomach and the person died. And the doctor said, you killed him. And he said, no, he's sleeping, he will be up. And in 3 hours exactly, the person rose and didn't have any sign of the ulcer. There was a woman who had a tumor on the face. She ripped the tumor off the person's face and the face was like a newborn baby skin. That is power. Sorry, my glasses. And the truth about it is this. He didn't begin that way. He was a hardcore drunkard. Smith Wigglesworth was a hardcore drunkard who would beat his wife. The wife was in Salvation Army. And every single time Smith Wigglesworth would beat the wife would still submit to him. I'm not saying apply wisdom. If he beats you too much, report. Don't be there and die. So what happened was, one night after beating the wife, and the wife asked openly, after the beat, he said, what would you eat, my husband? And Smith Wigglesworth asked, what is wrong with you? Why do you love me that way? From then, Smith Wigglesworth gave his life to Christ, said, I want to know the God that you know. But one thing I always say is, if the woman of God at that point did not have the Holy Spirit, did not know what to do, the woman of God would have literally done something and would have lost a precious minister in Smith Wigglesworth. He rose 17 people from the dead, went on missionary journeys, preaching the gospel. Millions were saved. You need the Holy Spirit for temperance. Why do you always get angry? You need the Holy Spirit for humility. Amen. And I want to touch on another aspect of the Holy Spirit. That is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Can you repeat after me, please? The baptism of the Holy Spirit. Can we repeat together? We bless God. And can we read from Matthew 3:11? 1, 2, 3, go. He is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Amen. I remember the night when I received the Holy Ghost baptism. It was in, I think, November 2008. I received Christ in September 2008. And I was listening to a song. Let the rain of your presence fall on me. Every day that I live, with every breath I breathe, let the rain of your presence fall on me. Everywhere that I go, Lord, let your spirit flow, rain. And I didn't know I was in my room, and I started speaking in an unknown tongue, and I was shaking. I was shaking uncontrollably. So I fell off my bed. And my dad opened the door, looked at me, and he asked me a simple question. Are you okay? Should we go to the hospital? And that began the journey with the Holy Spirit. So I believe the very moment you accept the Lord as your personal Savior, what happens is the Holy Spirit jumps into your car. Amen. The Holy Spirit jumps into your car. He becomes part and parcel of your journey. But when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit becomes the driver. Did you get the analogy? I believe when you become born again, the Holy Spirit jumps into your life. He's like, yeah, I'm here. But the very moment you receive the baptism, what happens is he takes control of your life. And it's a promise. Because the Bible literally says, when Christ comes, he is going to cause the baptism of fire and of the Holy Spirit to be released upon his children. And when you read the book of Acts chapter 19, you understand when Paul met the believers, he asked them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you first believed? And they said, no. And as he spoke to them, the Holy Spirit fell mightily upon them. What happens when you receive the baptism of fire? It's giving full control to the Holy Spirit. It's surrendering every aspect of your life to the Holy Spirit. It's telling the Holy Spirit, you are in my life, but I don't want to literally control anything. Have your way. Be in the front seat. I prefer being in the back. It's just like Jesus saying that, not my will, but your will be done. Amen. And why is it important? It's in fulfillment of scripture. As we see there, it's in fulfillment of scripture. And it's not a cake. It's still needed. And it gives full control to the Holy Spirit. And three, unleashes the gifts of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It unleashes the gifts of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Amen. It's amazing. There are many signs of the baptism. And some of them include speaking in tongues. Some include even people laughing. Some include you being in worship and you feel a strong sense of peace. You don't necessarily have to shout or shake your leg like a dead chicken. Sometimes it's even peaceful. It's very... Sometimes people say, if you don't fall down... No, I don't believe that. Everybody has the way they are baptized. But most importantly, there is a conviction within your heart. Amen. And it's my desire that if you have not been baptized by the Holy Spirit, as you desire, may the Lord visit you in these coming days. In fact, I pray that even as you spend time with the Lord in the bus, I'm seeing a lot of amazing things. People in the bathroom and they start speaking in tongues, and people worshiping in their hallways, and they start lifting their hands in tears, and they surrender every aspect of their lives to the Lord. I pray that the Spirit of the Lord will manifest and will take full control of our lives. Someone shout, amen. Amen. We bless God. I think it was a bad idea to wear the jacket. Next time I'm not going to wear a jacket. I'm sweating. I feel sweat. There's something in Ghana we call the evil sweat. You know, in Ghana, it's called evil sweat, and it's in a way that it doesn't appear on your face, but you feel it. And it normally happens when you are writing an exam that you have not studied well for. You don't sweat on your face, you sweat. And especially when you are going to propose to a lady, you see. They don't see the sweat on your face, but you literally feel sweat dripping on your back. Ah, grace abounds. Grace abounds. Okay, so how to recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit? Amen. After all this, I remember saying that in every believer's life, you have three voices. Someone say three voices. Someone say three voices. In every believer's head, there are three voices. The first voice in your head is your own voice. And your own voice looks out for the things of self. So when the Lord tells you, there's this lady in your workplace, share the gospel with her, then your inner voice will say, what if you go and she says, get away from me? And you feel so embarrassed and you feel so ashamed, because the inner yourself always thinks of self. The Lord is calling you to go on a day fast. And then your inner voice tells you, you know, summer is right around the corner. You don't want to get into summer looking like a broomstick. The Holy Spirit is telling you, go and give money to support the church in any way. And you're like, you know, it's 30 days away from when you are going to receive your pay. You are going to go hungry. It's the voice, because it defends self. Then the second voice you would hear in your head is the voice of the devil. The voice of the devil literally contradicts the will of God. So you wake up, you feel like praying. The voice of the devil will tell you, don't pray, sleep. Someone steps on your feet in the bus. The voice of the devil says, would you give him a dirty slap? You see something, you see 100 kwai on the table. And the voice of the devil says, that is chow fun money right there. The voice of the devil will lead you away. You see a lady dressed beautifully, and the voice says, go. But you are married. But I'm married. Go. She wouldn't know. Go. The voice of the devil always contradicts the will of the Father. And one thing I want to say, not everybody is tempted the same way. Some of you, your temptation might be just to give up. Every time you start a new idea, a voice comes into your head, give up. It's not worth it. Anytime you start an agenda, you start a project, you've never completed a project in your life. I pray that you never give up in Jesus' name. Even when that voice comes, I pray that just as our Father begins and finishes everything, so would that be your testimony in Jesus' mighty name. And the final voice in your head is the voice of the Holy Spirit, which echoes the will of the Father and echoes Scripture. So how do you discern? How do you know that is the voice of the Spirit of God? One, it never contradicts the Bible. Amen? It never contradicts the Bible. That is the first point. Everything the Holy Spirit will tell you is in line with Scripture. So if you literally want to amplify the voice of the Holy Spirit in your life, need to get Scripture. The more of Scripture you have, the more of the voice of the Holy Spirit you would hear. Amen. He said when he comes, he will remind you of the things I've spoken to you. How would the Holy Spirit remind you when the only Scripture in your head is John 3:16? Get more of the word in you. Get more of the word in you. The second point is the leadings of the Holy Spirit are in order, not confusion. In Scripture, we understand from Corinthians that wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is order. It is never in confusion. When the Spirit leads you, it doesn't cause confusion among the saints. The third point, the leadings of the Holy Spirit are not in fear. In 2 Timothy, we understand that we were not born with a spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and of what? Anytime the leading of the Holy Spirit comes, it does not come with fear. Amen. And the fourth one, the actions of the Holy Spirit are in love. Whatever the Holy Spirit tells you to do or leads you to do, they come from a place of love. They come from a place of God. They come from a place of understanding the purpose of love. Amen. So even when the Holy Spirit calls you to scold or calls you to chastise your child, it still boils down from a place of love. When your co-worker does something, when your employee does something, and you are led to even confront the person, it's from a place of love, not a place to destroy. Amen. Then number five, confirmation from people and situations around you. I put this last because it should never be first. Trust me, the devil can equally give you confirmation. That is why I put it last. So make sure the word comes first. But there are many times the Lord sends someone else to echo what he has told you personally. And that is one sign of the New Testament prophecy. Because everything the Spirit of the Lord reveals to you through someone, your spirit bears witness with that. Amen? We bless God. So that is how to recognize. And it takes practice. Practice, 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 practice. And you become effective in hearing the voice of the Spirit. Practice, practice, practice. And you become effective. Practice. And you need to meditate. Sometimes you need to quiet down the noise in your head and your heart. Some of us, we are too noisy. There's always noise around us. If you are not laughing, you are talking. But you need to spend time to meditate on the Word of God. Pick a scripture. Lie in bed. Chew it over and over and over again till it becomes alive in your spirit. Amen. Another way that you can literally increase the voice of the Holy Spirit in you is through prayer and fasting. Through prayer and fasting. Now, the impact of the Holy Spirit. When we begin to live in vivid relation with the Holy Spirit, we become healthy believers. Our ministries begin to evolve. Our lives begin to turn. Our life is like a party. Party after party. Our life literally is soaring. Amen. So it's very important to literally understand that Christianity is not boring. I don't know how many of you have seen angels before, but angels are not boring to look at. And subsequently, I'm going to talk to the leadership and I'll try to present a teaching on the relevance and understanding of angels and demons in our setting today, just to bring a certain understanding. What you don't know is literally what will control you. Lack of knowledge will cause you to perish. Good. So, one, it brings a healthy Christian relationship and holiness unto the Lord. The reason why you are literally fighting so much against that thought, that action, is because you have not included the Holy Spirit. Focus on the Holy Spirit and not on the action. That is why he is called the Holy Spirit. He will convict you. He will direct you. He will lead you. Effectiveness of decision taking and a sense of purpose and direction. When you are effectively walking with the Holy Spirit, decision making and direction is easy to come by because he leads you. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall what? He shall direct your path. So when you effectively walk with the Holy Spirit, direction is inevitable. Then boldness and ability to overcome limitation. Trust me, I wasn't like this. I used to be a shy guy in a friendly way. Especially coming to stand before people and talking. But just like Peter, when he stood and preached for 3,000 people to be saved, the Holy Spirit brought boldness into my life. This was a man who literally denied Jesus Christ how many times? But when he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he stood and preached. The Holy Spirit gives you boldness. Some of you are afraid to go and preach Christ. Pray for boldness from the Holy Spirit. Some of you are afraid to talk on issues. Pray for boldness from the Holy Spirit. Some of you are not courageous enough. Pray for boldness. The least thing you are afraid, even the thought of something frightens you. Amen. Then the actions of the Holy Spirit. Oh, I jumped. The fourth one, awareness of what the Lord is doing and the seasons. So this is the final impact I wrote there because we are moving into another season. Amen. In the book of Daniel, we understand that the Lord created the seasons and times. And he orders our steps in that light. And the person responsible for ushering us into the seasons is the Holy Spirit. Literally, the Holy Spirit gives us an insight of things to come. So it's very important that before you enter into a new season and a new time, you spend time with the Holy Spirit to tell you what to focus on. I'm giving you homework. From now till we enter into 2020, spend time with the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit give you clear directions as to what to really focus on in 2020. For some of you, the Holy Spirit will give you just one word. Read the book of Proverbs. For some of you, the Holy Spirit will just tell you, focus on building a relationship with your Father. For some of you, the Holy Spirit will just tell you, this is a time to set your mind on what to do after school. But when you spend time with the Holy Spirit, he tells you what to focus on, what to prepare for in the next season. So the university students group on Tuesday, and Stephen, it's Tuesday and Wednesday, right? Tuesday and Wednesday, we are meeting as a small group in GMA. And we are going to look at how to effectively prepare for 2020. You are all invited. It's not just for university students. You are all invited. We are going to just sit down, think, pray, and get knowledge about how to effectively prepare for 2020. And one thing I want to tell you is 2020 is going to be amazing. I don't know how this year has been for you, the ups and downs, but I can tell you hands down that something huge is coming for the church. I can tell you it's a season of divine wisdom. A season where there's going to be a lot of doing and less action. A season where there's going to be a bumper harvest for the church. We will come to XICF and we'll see, the whole place will be full. A season where fathers are going to leave inheritance for their children. A season of wisdom. Hallelujah. Even as I bring my sermon to an end, I want us to take a memory verse. Can we read it together? Go. So this is the memory verse for today. You can think about it. You can meditate on it. Let's read it one more time. 1, 2, 3, go. We bless God. Let's bow down our heads for a word of prayer. And you want to pray that, Father, help me yield to your Spirit. Help me get more knowledge about your Spirit. If you have never encountered the Holy Spirit before, but you have just heard stories, you want to pray that, Father, let me encounter the Holy Spirit. Father, let me encounter the Holy Spirit. And even as we pray, we want to pray for XICF. And want to pray that, Father, let your Spirit reign in this place. Let the Holy Spirit reign in this fellowship. Let your Holy Spirit influence every decision. And you want to pray for your family. You want to pray for your children. And say, Father, I commend my children to you. I commend my spouse to you. I commend my family to you. That, Father, you would do better with my family than I would do. You want to commend the important aspect of your life. Every aspect of your life. And finally, you want to say this, that Father, I'm available, use me. In these last days, Father, I'm available, use me. Use me to manifest your glory. In my school, in my workplace, let the Holy Spirit flow through me. Let me manifest your gifts. Let me manifest your spirit. Father, baptize me with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Let me burn unto your glory. In Jesus' mighty name have we prayed. Amen. Turn to someone, give the person a high five, hug someone, tell the person, God loves you. XICF, you are dismissed.